I wonder how many of you have heard more than 15 sermons on the Good Samaritan. Raise your hand. How many of you feel that you might have heard more than 30? Excuse me. I am going to try to come at this from a different way today, because I have preached sermons on who is my neighbor many times, and some of them were good. But I love the way that Luke shapes the story. And I actually want to spend a moment and talk about the introduction of this parable, because as we've been doing this Here Then the Parable this summer, we have been looking at textual evidence in different ways. And as you know, this parable is actually in Mark and Luke. We usually read the Lucan version as preachers because we want to make sure that you know who your neighbor is. Okay? And that's still part of the story. But I want to go a little deeper. Jesus provided the example story, the Good Samaritan, in response to a question of a lawyer. Would you put that up on the screen for me? Now, this is what's before the story in Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Huh. Is that in Mark's version? I wonder. Let's look at Mark's version. Which commandment is the first of all? By the way, I didn't have enough room for it on the slide, but the verse right before this, it's a scribe who is asking the question. And for reasons of English Greek interpretation, you can substitute the word lawyer for scribe. Okay? They're pretty much the same thing. Now, what we're looking at here is which of these texts we think is likely older and closer to Jesus' time. Which commandment is the first of all? The first is the Shema again. That's the part that we read also in Luke, okay? The part about you shall love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart. Then there's no other commandment greater than these. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him a question. In the other story, the lawyer dared to ask him, "Well, then, who is my neighbor?" And in this one, before the parable, it's not there. Now, I don't know, you know, for certain who was reading who. I think it likely that since all of these texts are inspired, as a scholar of the Bible, I'm just trying to see what it was Jesus might have meant. And I'm going to suggest to you that it's not just about who is my neighbor. Because actually, I believe Mark is older, and that it was Luke who added that question because it really shaped his gospel. So I want you today to listen for something more than just who is really my neighbor. Okay? Let's read the text. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved to pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. And then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." The word of God for the people of God. So, as someone who used to be able to read and understand the Greek Bible completely, like just by looking at it, I could remember everything, I can tell you I can't do that now. But, you know, my professor told me whenever I went to the restroom to read my Greek Bible, and I would keep it the rest of my life. And I did not do that. I like Sports Illustrated. Anyway, too much information. All right. But as someone who knows a lot about the Greek, the very first thing that I notice is this statement about half dead. The man is in the ditch and he is half dead. And really, if I was part of Jesus' audience, when I heard that, I would know that the man was more dead than alive. That it looked like he was dead. It looked like he was not breathing. That could very well mean that. Those Greek words mean that story. And the other thing that if I was in the ancient world, and I suspect you are the same, I would immediately know when I heard about this man being injured that this was going to be a hero story. Because I love hero stories. I love the stories where I'm listening to them or I'm reading them, and I can become a character in the story. You do too, don't you? You love to become a character in the story. And I know this is going to be a hero story, so there's a man who's half dead in the ditch, and I put on my cape when I'm listening to the story, and I'm ready to be the hero and save the man in the ditch. All those kinds of stories are wonderful to us because we can imagine ourselves as the hero, and we become excited to be the person who's going to do it. And so then when we start hearing the story, first comes the priest. And I have broken this down with a word-for-word English translation of these 3 potential heroes in the story. One of them, you know, is going to be me. The priest is not allowed to touch a dead body. And this interpretation of thinking that the man was dead, and, you know, since today all of you lived over 2,000 years ago, and you know exactly what Jesus is saying, because we're going to explain it to you, you already have this experience with priests, and you know they are not going to help someone who may be dead, because if they touch the man, they'll become unholy and they'll no longer be able to serve, you know, in the temple. So he's not, definitely not going to be the hero. A certain priest was going down on that road, and upon seeing him, passed by on the other side. And the second possible hero comes along, and it's a Levite. Well, the Levite serves in the temple too. And the same laws and rules apply to the Levite. And we can also see this last part, likewise also a Levite upon at that place coming. And that's just because that's the order of the words, and I just put the English translation in. And upon seeing pass by on the other side, look at that. There's parallel going on there. So when I'm listening, I know this guy's not going to save him either, and he can't because he works in the temple too. And they know that the Levite is not going to be the hero because they've had lots of experience with priests and Levites. And the third person, you know, because a good storyteller always does it this way, we know the third person is going to be the hero. And if we are Jesus' first audience, we know something else. The Mishnah, which is for the Jewish people, are texts written about the texts in the Bible. And the Mishnah has taught all of us Jews the pecking order of the world. And the pecking order of the world is priests over Levites, Levites over Israelites, Israelites over people who are unclean, the unclean people over slaves. So, we've heard this story from the storyteller, and we know that the third person, before we even hear it, is going to be an Israelite. All right? It's going to be us, because we're the heroes. We've all got our capes on. We're ready to hear this story. We think it's going to be an Israelite, and bam, the real hero turns out to be the hated enemy. And I hope that you've all heard 15 to 30 sermons about the arguments between the Samaritans and the Israelites about where to worship, and they have a long and checkered history. They are enemies. But a certain Samaritan, while on the road, came upon him, and upon seeing, had compassion. Now, when I heard the word Samaritan, and I'd also heard the end passing by on the other side, when I heard the storyteller say, and upon seeing, I was certain that the Samaritan was going to do the same thing that the Levite and the priest did, pass by on the other side. But you can see both the priest and the Samaritan have the word road. They're using a conjugation of the same verb, come, coming, came. You know, there's all these things in there that the storyteller has used to make these comparisons for you. You thought that the third person was going to be an Israelite, and it was not. It was a Samaritan. And then you suddenly thought, oh, okay, he's just going to pass by on the other side, and this is going to be a twisted story with another hero to come along. The Samaritan did not pass by on the other side. The enemy had compassion, and we Jews were not expecting that at all. And I want to ask you a question now, since we've read and talked about the parable a little. Do you identify with the hero or the victim in this story? Because if I am a Jew in the ancient world, I have to, now that I've heard this story, that the enemy is the hero, I have to decide what my place in the story is going to be, because this is a great story and I've got to find my place. Will I be the hero or the victim? Since the hero turned out to be the enemy, it's hard, if I'm actually a Jew, for me to imagine myself as being an enemy. Of course, it's not hard for us. We don't have anything against the Samaritans. All of us, when we hear this story, we immediately jump in and become the hero, the Samaritan. But that's not likely what someone would have done. My old professor, Dr. Scott, suggested in a book that he wrote that there were three choices that the ancient listeners could make. He said they could have been listening to the story and they would have said, in real life, that would never happen. But, you know, if they do that, then they're not going to understand the point of the story. They're not going to find out what the kingdom is. They're not going to be a part of building this kingdom if they take that option. The second choice they have is to identify with the Samaritan, to become the hero. And there may have been a few Jews who had had dealings with Samaritans and could have imagined themselves as being a Samaritan hero, but that's not very likely. The third choice, the choice that I just asked you about, most of Jesus' listeners would have become the victim in the story as they were hearing it. They would have, and they would have experienced the kingdom. Because if you're going to be part of Jesus' kingdom of God, then you have to be willing to even let your enemy take care of you. Most of these people would have become the enemy in the story. And I think understanding the trip from Jerusalem to Jericho boils down to this. Not only must we love our neighbors, but we have to be willing to let our enemies all the way into our lives, even down to tending us when we are sick. And what is it that I think that means? I think this is not the story that I have preached 15 to 30 times about me personally being a neighbor to everyone in the world, but I think it's about our communities. It is about us letting an enemy become a part of our community. It's about us welcoming the stranger. It's about us ministering and helping a stranger or a foreigner, or an enemy who is in need. The parable's not just about individuals crossing the barriers between them, but it's about communities crossing that barrier. That's the part that I've gotten it into a few of those sermons, but this is the part that I want to bang on today. Jesus was proposing a new world, okay, where there weren't any enemies anymore. A world that did not have any walls. A world that none of the people could even imagine would ever be able to exist. That everyone would be a part of the same community of humanity. That everyone would be welcome at everyone else's table. That anyone who was ever in need would immediately have their needs met by people who were a part of this kingdom. A world with no walls. That's what Jesus was inviting the hearers of the story of a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho to understand. A world with no walls. Amen? Amen. We come to a time of invitation in our worship.